have Julius Byrne in the lead from Gauteng. Dwala Mahesu, Kibidwa Ulisi Lewas Fango, Tla Kwenye Mutiri, Tla Lewad.
Mwale Mawutu, Kamala Mdomakal Bazis, and a member of the committee.
Over to you, person. I don't know who is present, so I can say the DG or the
Thank you very much, Chairperson and members of the NCOP, the Select Committee. My name is Sipho Mdwaha. I am the Acting Director General. Let me thank you first for affording us the opportunity to come and appear for you, to account, with respect to the annual financial year and the results. We also are aware that you've gotten the item which the Chairperson would like to request, but we start with the first item, which is quite short, before we then go into the elaborate detail about us accounting back around the issues of how we performed in the previous financial year. That one is the ratification of Article 12 of the International Telecommunications Satellite Organization Agreement with South Africa is part two.
Can I allow you to introduce yourself, and then I think we can start with the annual report, because for this I you need to put a high one. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. So as I've indicated, I'm the acting director general, and I think with me here are officials from the department and the minister, which I'm going to ask them to introduce themselves. I will start to my right.
Thank you. Good morning, honourable members. My name is Farhad Osman, the acting DVG administration from the department. Thanks.
Good morning, members. My name is Ryan Fable, head of the
Good morning, members and honourable chair. My name is Willy Rubella. I'm the acting deputy general for policy.
Good morning, honourable chair and members. My name is Michael Jira, acting DDG SOE oversight.
Good morning, honourable chair and members. My name is Dini Ongobeni. I'm the DDG for infrastructure support. Thank you.
Morning, Chair and honourable members. My name is Alfred Adnashisi. I'm the acting DG for Information Society Development and Research.
Good morning, Chair and honourable members. I'm Jim Patterson. I'm Director for Multilateral Relations. Thank you.
Good morning, Chair and the honourable members. I'm Elis Ibeko, acting Chief Director of Radio and Satellite Communications.
My name is John Christen from India.
Thank you very much. Acting Chief of DG. I think I'm going to allow you. I think people can relax. It's not it's a normal thing. As members, so you know they're listening on the listening to the radio saying it is striking and I think therefore they think that nothing is going on. But
thank you very much, Mr. Chairperson. The presentation was circulated and is quite detailed. I've got also many directors and chief directors and DDGs who are here. Yeah, they're acting. But for the purpose of this meeting, they are taking responsibility for the things under consideration. That's what I'm underlying. So they can't then run away and say, no, we are acting, it's not us who are responsible. we do have women leaders in the department, but unfortunately they are assigned to some other tasks and they would not join us. One of them is DJ is undergoing a process which is called the International Telecommunication Union, which is getting the dedication in Geneva. Others also then are there, I think like our chief auditor was a woman also. And, but I think, let me agree with you, that we've got a particular problem which has arisen, and I think we're going to talk about it, in the sense that because of the previous happenings, the DDG ranks were depleted. I think we've been in the news for all reasons, and I think about 4 of them were fired last year, so we're in the process of replenishing them. We can talk about that, the processes where they are now in terms of finding new leaders eventually to get. Now also it's another level of the organization. We just advertised and closed that, but we're advertising about 41 posts to replenish our leadership. So what do you see here in the acting capacity serving in? Something we hope that by January we will have a full complement of leadership to take us forward. Now, having said that, let me then preface the presentation by some observations with respect to what happened under the year under review. That we were born as a new department because of the process of the national macro organization of the state. After the elections in May, the president pronounced the establishment of the National Department of Telecommunications and Postal Services. We are a new department and we're just about a year old. And, we were part of something which was called the Department of Communication. And that Department of Communication then was split into two to establish two new departments. Now that split then confirmed the transfer of administration powers and functions, which were then entrusted to us through specific legislation. We had to transfer some relevant projects and resources to the Department of Communications, and then to also then to actually deal with the question of reconstituting ourselves as a new department with a new mandate. We, in the process, then inherited two additional state-owned companies in the form of what is called Broadband Infraco and the State Information Technology Agency. This did not report to us in the past, but then through the reorganization of the state, macro organization of the state, they came over to us. Broadband used to report to the Department of Public Enterprise, and CITA used to report to the Department of Public Service. Now, in the meantime, they had to then assume the responsibility of having to continue to deliver on the annual performance plan, which was actually the old Department of Communications plan. So we're reporting on what then have been actually the DOC's plan. Thank you very much. Now, during the period under review, there were significant achievements. And amongst these achievements, which we would like to note, that we developed high implementation plans for 4 pillars of the South African Connect. South African Connect is our broadband policy and strategy. We established broadband steering committees for the 9 provinces, as well as the National Broadband Advisor Council at national level. We developed a business plan and secured funding allocation of 740 million rand over the MTF period for our pilot, with respect to how then we run our broadband throughout the 8 districts with our pilot process of the NHI. We also then undertook extensive public consultation on the National Integrated ICT Policy Green Paper in all 9 provinces. And then we developed the ICT Policy Review Paper during that period also, where we highlighted a range of policy options and possible policy approaches to the most pressing issues around the ICTs in South Africa. In the past, we had different legislation which was covering the areas of ICT. Now in 2012 then, through the MDP, we then came to the conclusion as a country that we needed this integrated national ICT policy. So this was the attempt to actually put together this. with the hope that we're going to develop the white paper on this now in effective diplomacy as government and countries position paper. We are quite advanced with respect to this project, and I think we're going to report what we think to do at the time when this annual report was then, where we are now with respect to the process. We addressed the issue of the cost to communicate, which has become quite significant and prevalent in the discussions around the ICT. Research has indicated that South Africa was one of the countries where the cost to communicate was fairly high compared to the peers, and because of our market structure, we needed the nations to intervene in order for us to do something around lowering the cost to communicate. We developed a policy directive on price transparency as well as the policy directive on the premium content, both of which were approved by the Minister and submitted to NASA for consultation as required by the law. Now, we did a benchmarking study and we developed a benchmarking report on mobile data pricing, including relevant recommendations for consideration by the policymaker and also in turn by the regulator. We did not achieve everything which we had sought to do in terms of our annual performance targets. And not necessarily achieved, I think, will be then recognized in terms of what we did. And I think I will ask the colleagues here to explain as to why we couldn't finish the things which we were about to achieve. But just the highlights. Under the ICT policy review, we started in 2012. And there was extensive consultation. We published four papers with respect to it and involved ourselves in national consultation. Now we had public hearings and we did publish a discussion document and we did actually formulate then the recommendations and the recommendations report was developed and given to government. What we did not do, which was under the plan, was that actually we should have finalized and finished the white paper for presentation to cabinet. Now the reason why we couldn't do this is simple, that around January of the year under consideration, we got extensive comment in terms of the discussion document which has been submitted, and then the people who wanted to submit were asking us for extensions so that we could they could be given more time to respond to the last paper, the last of the four papers which were issued. So the minister then agreed to consider further extensions and it meant that we're not in a position to actually finalize the draft white paper. Now in terms of this process, where are we? On the 11th of December, which is about 2 weeks from today, we are having then this draft white paper, we're finalizing it with the aim that we did restate this target that by the 31st of March, the country will have a white paper. We've got a draft white paper, we've got position papers with respect to all of the areas of which were there. There have been extensive consultation since the time of when the site plan everyone has asked us to delay analyzing it because they had other inputs of which they wanted to make. We have promised to finalize the national address system also too. Now the national address system was then trying to make meaning out of who we are as South Africans in terms of matching us to the places where we live, the places where we work, and then to synthesize a variety of address systems actually which are there at the present moment that are addressing us. Every theoretically, as we're going to the next election, the issue of us having to establish ourselves as South Africans keep on rising, and the cost associated with it also rising. Now, the IEC has got its own system of addressing us. The municipalities have got their own system of addressing us. The post office has got their own system of addressing us. There is no central database of addresses which then address us as South Africans that you can distill your identity in terms of where you live. The majority of South Africans also are outside of that address system. Like I would make an example of those who live in the informal settlements. They do not have street names, they do not have street addresses, they cannot actually be addressed. So it became quite obvious that we needed necessarily to have this integrated and one system of address of Africans. And this national address system policy then is trying to work towards with everyone else who's got an address system to actually compose and actually develop a similar address system which can be used parallel in terms of the card. So the address system is important. You can't apply for a job unless you can be addressed. You can't apply for a loan unless you can be addressed. So it is fundamental in terms of the identity of who you are as a South African. And it is required everyone else. So we needed then to address this issue, provide South Africans with one single address system which can be verified. Now we did develop and approve for the concept paper on the national address system in the year under review. And then we developed a cabinet memorandum after consultation with all government departments which were actually touched. Due to poor participation by key stakeholders, we could not then finalize and gather the national address system policy so that it became politically finalized. We did develop a national address system policy, a draft, continued with the consultations with the South African Post Office and the Interdepartmental Steering Committee, which we established in order to address the issue of poor stakeholder participation. We did a gap analysis to understand how many people actually are not addressable, and we did also a benchmark with respect to how much it would cost us to manage this data system. I'm happy to say that we finalized this part of it now. At the moment where we do have that policy. It's going to be part of the integrated right policy in terms of its publication before the end of March. Now we had also, as the DOC, had the responsibility then to grow the community broadcasting sector. This function has since then gone to the Department of Communications, no longer with us, I think, in terms of it being a contributor. But at the time when we were reporting, we had developed a draft community broadcasting growth strategy and had implemented the support program for community radios. We had resources also which were allocated to this function. What we had not achieved that the community broadcasting growth strategy was suspended due to the outcomes of the President's health proclamation, and we could not necessarily finalize on it because it had to be transferred to a new department rather than us actually finalizing on it. So next time the Department of Communications appeared before you, they are the custodians now of this program, and all the resources shall associated with it, and the transfer to them. Then we have also said we're going to establish then this ICTB council, CCCB council. At the time when we were reporting, we have not finalized with respect to this, and we have actually partially achieved. We have done benchmark reports with recommendations on the Data Council and the role of our minister with respect to it. There was a lot of contestation with respect to whether, as a department, we had any role to do with the establishment of this ICTB data. There was the opinions that were sought to try to take us out of the equation. The contention was that this is a sector initiative, government had no role to play. With respect to it. And also, too, that if government had the role to play, it was the DTI, not ourselves. We were supposed to participate in terms of the establishment of it. An analysis of the positions revealed that there were people who were opposed to the establishment of this triple PE council, but we were then actually trying to ensure that the status quo remained. We cannot actually make instruments for intervention with respect to market. After a lot of consultation, we did actually have an implementation plan on the Charter Council, and then we also developed the terms of reference of the Charter Council, and we won in terms of discussions around this issue. Our role as the regulation we were supposed to create was recognized, and we go on with the work. Now, at the end of it, we were responsible as a civil department for all this, but now the terms of reference of this council was now all of a sudden cutting across two departments. So we then had to end as well as initiate a discussion with the new Department of Communication in order for us to finalize. This perhaps is the reason why at that particular period in time we could not have actually concluded this discussion around the establishment of this Charter Council. I'm happy now to also then indicate that the Charter Council since then has been established. It is functioning and it has actually undertaken then the rectification and managed to do so within the time frames which were set by the DTI in terms of them not having to amend the data to conform to the regional legislation. Then we were supposed to develop the National Aid Strategy. Now, under this National Aid Strategy, we then had to consider what are the things that can be done by the country around using online methods to deliver services and use online methods to support a variety of activities in the country, like e-government, like e-commerce, mobile commerce, transactions online, e-signatures, all of the things that are now are new ways of doing it, utilizing the ICTs. We did develop a national draft strategy with respect to this, but what we have not done at the time was actually to finalize this draft strategy. It had become quite apparent at the time to us that we could not have a national integrated ICT policy, which did not then integrate the start of what then the ICTs of the future are going to be doing, and the roles which have to be played by both government and the private sector and individual with respect to it. Now, what became also clear, that we have the fundamental responsibility to ensure that we empower some of them to do things in a new way. Along the path of thinking, we finally then came to a conclusion that we needed to establish something which is called INESI, which is a national institute for training Africa in order to go forward. Now, around the establishment of any school, around the establishment of any institute whose core function is to train, we then ran across that the departmental activity actually had to be supported by the Department of Education, Higher Education, because of the new Post-Education Act, which actually had come into play. We could not finalize this. There are still a lot of discussions in the Department of Education as to the establishment of this. And in part to that, that's the reason why also this strategy framework has not yet actually translated itself into a policy and into law. The current status is that we're back in this discussion. We've isolated the areas with all the departments which we wanted to work with in order for us to actually ensure that we finalize it. We've got the core responsibilities as the Department of Telecommunications, and in the macro organization of the state, e-government, for instance, actually they're not shifted to us and resources to actually affect e-government. We're in that process of also reflecting them in terms of policy, all of the changes which have been there, and we've got then actually to develop a strategy which also form part of this national integrated ICT policy of the country. I referred earlier to the cost of communication problems which were associated, which are still associated with the high cost which we as South Africans pay in order for us to talk to each other, to engage with the ICTs actually, to pursue the things which are important to us. The cost side, obviously, I think we're the first ones to work done for this, to come to the conclusion that there is something which has to be done with respect to it, and that the government has to, in a sustained way, involve itself in actually lowering these costs. We have issued a policy directive on price transparency and the premium content. Now, I'll just address the question of the price transparency. The honorable members will know that if you actually buy a contract from these companies, exactly what you're buying is just not possible to determine. It's not transparent. It's not something which is presented in a manner that you can say company A does it like this, company B does it like this, I am choosing company A, those are the things which are there. We now understand that there are about 22 offers at the same time in the market, which are very, very confusing if you're a consumer and you're trying to actually choose. So what then we're trying to do through this directive is to ensure that the information on prices, the information of the offers of these companies is presented in such a manner that everyone has a getting out of it. Now, we wanted the regulator to come in, regulate this matter of how actually that information, so that we can compare like and like and decide that this empowered the enterprise to give. Within this directive, it sits still with the Independent Communications Authority of South Africa. We are hoping that they are going to finalize and do it as well in a manner that. The other issue which was there is an issue which relates to the question of the access to premium content. Now, in the hierarchy of rights around premium content, which then covers fault, which covers feeling, and which covers all of these things as well, which we supply to subscription services. First, it starts with those who are in the pay before it actually then filters down to the life of the SABC. Now, all arrangements there are such and such a man in the way that the one who comes first takes everything and then prevents Allah from even having access to this conduct. Now this tactic is aimed at then opening up this sect, so that if we have got those rights, we are also then not in a position to create a monopoly around them, but we are for the trying to share the rights on a wholesale basis with other people who are offering similar services to you. This directive is well and actually undertaken, and that ICASA is still actually working on it, and we've consulted with ICASA with respect to that. We did a study on the national roaming. Now, not everyone in the telecommunication sector has got the same network at the same reach. Others have got bigger networks. Now, those who are small in terms of their network have got a right, which is enshrined in law, to actually interconnect and use the services on a commercial basis of others. Now, things being equal, and in the economic area, those who have got the infrastructure then are imposing unfair and unjust conditions with respect to those that will need then access to this. So we want them to do something which is actually then going to create the possibility of everyone else actually utilizing the market and utilizing the network each other. We also did, now, when the laws were created in South Africa, we didn't have any data at the time. I think it was analog telecommunication. The instrument which we have now used to be for just talking and actually for something which is called SMS. But that is the background to the law. Now, one of the things, there is something now which is called data, which is, you know, it's bundles which you're talking about, communicating with emails or communicating with WhatsApp or communicating with Facebook and everything. Now, these companies, what they have done now is actually address this emergent market and to actually then price it in such a way that it is exorbitant gain. So the first problem of the transparency of pricing is rearing its head now with respect to this one, but two, the exorbitant rates are also then being transferred to this one. So in as much as we're running away from voice because it has been priced in such a way that it's going to such pricing, we're running to data that is no longer talking and we're communicating. Now they're logic. The price structures of voice on this alarm. So we want to respond to that, and this study actually that was intended to actually do that. Now, there were delays in terms of ICASA responding to the policy directives, which we have actually asked them to actually consider and to impose them the regulations around this. Now, we could not conclude this national data pricing studies, and in terms of
so that myself and questions to engage on this, because by 1:30 some of us are going to leave the meeting and we still have another presentation. Yeah. That's
thank you. Then there was the internet strategy. We have developed the internet strategy, and that was finalized again in the integrated paper. We're going to actually then have this internet strategy. We then had to digitize part of our information on SAC, ICT sector, and the military heritage. This was us. Especially achieved on the ICT research program, there were areas of underachievement in the sense that the content generation hubs, which we had actually promised to establish, we had to put that in a plan, pending the finalization of the proclamations on which other focus has been, would be dealt with by the new TOC and what we were supposed to. Now that content hub and all issues of content have eventually moved on to the Department of Communication. We are still in the process of them doing this research program, and we've got now a concept of a research expert reference group, which is going to be advising the minister with respect to this. ICT information management repository also was partly achieved. The empowerment talent, where the issues actually which we needed to then deal with, and I've indicated that here we dealt with it through the establishment of the ICT to be charged, which is now in operation. There will be a meeting of the United Nations, which is dealing with the question of the information society in December. I think today in cabinet we have then submitted the report with respect to this, but under your review, we are told that we're going to do this. This is part of quarter which we did. Did table it, though in the new financial year, but this one is concluded, actually that report in the previous year. The ICT Development Program on Information Aspects, we entered into a partnership with the department, with the University of Pretoria, and then we rolled it out to three provinces under the year end of year. Gender disability, youth and children mainstreaming, we partially achieved this target. The areas of underachievement involved early childhood development and technology access program, which were delayed since the OECD was not available to us or shops with the department. Now that is the structure of the Department of Basic Education, which is actually not ready at the time to actually work with us to analyze this. ICT agenda across the three services of government, we did have the state-owned companies forums, and we also worked through the 650, where we met with the premiers and met the provinces, and we met also with the municipalities with respect to them. Now, in addition, then we actually formed a new organization, which is called the National ICT Forum. At the time of reporting, we just developed the type of documents. Now we can confirm that this National ICT Forum is active, and I think it is part of the things which are very interesting in terms of what we are doing, joined by partners in that. Now, there is the digital regional strategy, which leads to the question of our implementation of our selection correct program. What we have not achieved was the rapid deployment policy, which was not finalized with respect to this. And then we then required the spectrum policy to be actually finalized. Now, these are in the process of being finalized and integrated into the national ICT white paper. Our digital development strategy, as I've indicated, we developed a business case, which was submitted to National Treasury, and then the allocations of Treasury over the next 3 years, we then secured 200 million in the course of 2015-2016, 268 million 2016-2017, and 217 million for the 2017-2018. We're in the first year of the implementation of this program, and we're in the process now to put the cabinet actually to having sorted out all of the problems with respect to it. Cabinet asked us to provide value for money and indicate that actually government is not going to be rid of with respect to the implementation of this program. The digital future program, we have done every other thing with respect to this, and I think we have achieved everything. E-government, I've spoken to e-government, that's the issue that we really need to inherit this. There are still also conceptual problems which we need to resolve with the Department of Public Service before it, between what I would call tools of trade for public servants and the national e-government initiative, which is driven politically and then across all government. Both of us have got some responsibilities with this, but we have not managed at the moment to try to delineate where our responsibility starts and where their responsibility ends. The SME growth strategy we're finalizing on it at the time of proposing, we have not actually achieved it. SOC oversight, and I think we have been in the news for a number of wrong problems around what is happening in the African post office. And we have spent so much time, our time, actually came to the post office trying to help them actually to resolve this problem. And it's something actually which is under consideration. The CEO has just been appointed, and today we are hoping to resolve the issue of the CFO. A new leadership has been appointed to respect to take the post office forward. A new board is coming to bring up the post office was put into administration. The other organization that are faring much better, sometimes it still is a shining star with respect to what it does. CETA needs a lot of transformation, but there is a role definition and a role clarification with respect to what CETA then does as we go forward. OSASA is fulfilling its mission. What we need now to do is actually define this role, and NAMISA, which is evolving into this institute, is going to be training all of them. We promise to prioritize the post banks. We've done a lot with respect to the program which we've submitted around the question of the computerization of the program. We hope that in the course of this year, we will finalize this one. Now, with South Africa ICT infrastructure advancing, the MT, advancing PPT program across the Southern region, advancing broadband, all of those, I think, are difficult initiatives which involved many countries. And our movement with respect to Israel is limited by the ability of the countries actually to reach agreement and for them to continue implementation. The strategic multilateral partnership which we have entered into, there are areas of underachievement with respect to the postal strategy conference which we had actually hoped to actually initiate the particular presentation and report to the council. Now, since then, something has happened along the postal area which is quite important. Mostly in the midst of this perception that the post office, our own post office, is actually not performed. I am here to announce that actually internationally, we are the people who are driving international postal strategy for all countries. And we have repeated this function with some aplomb and would like to translate some of the things which we have learned with respect to our postal office and the to operate to our own post office. In this regard, we've got some initiatives which we will be announcing in due course as to actually how we capture the international successes which have and translate them to the post office. The bilateral program, which involves countries of the north and the south, have been very much involved in it. We've looked at ICT trade and investment opportunities. The public awareness program, in terms of the broadcasting digital migration. Now, within the internal control framework, we partially achieved some of the things. And I think if you look at our results in terms of the audited statement, most of the comments which were there, we did get an audit which was quite favorable to us. There are methods of emphasis with respect to the audit, and there are about internal control measures actually in the framework which we needed to develop. They are not developed at the time actually that our results actually mentioned. I'm going to ask the DDG of administration to just run through the numbers in terms of the budget which has been allocated and voted for and how it has performed with respect to it. This will be then the last part of our presentation before. My apologies, several of the points were accepted and it covered many areas which we needed to report by post that they actually said we can do. But this is a short part I'm going to ask the DDG to actually then take us through.
Thanks, sir. In the meantime, if we can then engage on slides, perhaps I could present one of the slides which we can capture most of the other tables, albeit the slides on page 31. It basically concerns the allocation for the department across the five budget programs, which is the administration, international affairs, policy development, enterprise development, and infrastructure development. Department in 2014-15 had a appropriation of 2.2 billion, which the actual expenditure was 2.1, and that gives us a 97.5% expenditure in the total appropriation. And in terms of the next slide, we'll cover the same figures that are broken down into economic classification, which is on the following slide. So in terms of our current payments, transfers to subsidies, payment capital assets, and payments for financial assets. So I think what you'll notice is the bulk of the money that actually goes to transfers and subsidies. That's the transfers and subsidies to our various state-owned companies, which we do as for the drawdown schedules that are agreed upon with the state-owned company. So in a nutshell, the department was able to spend 97.5% of its allocation in the last financial year, the period under review. Okay, thanks.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I will then conclude here and hand over to the Chair.
Thank you very much, for the presentation. I'm going to allow questions, the member to post questions. Can I see it? Okay, Honourable Member Sarkis, Honourable Member Nambu and Honourable Member Julius. Let me not make the same mistake in my name. Thank you, and I will also ask questions, but Honourable Member Coffey, you are first.
Chair, let's welcome the annual report, the presentation made by DG. just want to check on page 4, the ICT policy recommendation report, which was developed with the intention to inform the white paper. This policy report was not meant for maybe other institutions, maybe put it that way, or anybody else. But then, as much as we shall engage with the community at some point or stage, the processes of the white paper. But it's important for me, as a public representative, to have the information, raw information as it is, instead of having only the white paper, because if you are at the stage of the white paper, it's a polished document. So it's proper to have that document, or it is just a research that will be furnished to that particular document or the report. Okay. I want to understand, let me read this point, because in the future, did you try to abbreviate, write in full and abbreviate in practice? Because what I've observed, this department and your technology department has lots of abbreviation. You call them, I call them an old school abbreviation. Now, you are seeing on page 8 or slide 8, what's slide 8 here? Under areas of underachievement, the two policy directives couldn't be finalized due to delay in receiving comments from the CAS. Can you please explain that to us? Then you're also saying the study on national roaming couldn't be concluded through delays in appointment and vetting of the recommended service provider. And then I just want to share what is the recommended service provider in this case, and is this still the status quo in terms of the vetting part of it? Chabazin, on page 9, the school connectivity. The school connectivity, for the first time when the program of the department was presented, provinces were mentioned, but as time goes on, certain provinces were eliminated, and part of those was the state. I work in Cape Town and Free State, but my home is Eastern Cape. And I want to tell you that schools that were supposed or were identified are part of my constituency. So we are public representatives, we allocated certain constituencies. And I just want to ask the DG to make sure that project gets speeded or fast forward. Must fast forward that project, because seemingly there's no progress. And remember, people always say politicians are liars, because we only promise, we never deliver. Now, when you call into a final analysis, you connect with your constituency, the schools, and say, this is what is coming, all that. And I cannot go back to those people if there's nothing concrete or tangible in hand. So it's one project that must be prioritized. And first of all, DG is a very rural area.
the southern part of the state, towards the border to SMC. I think that's what I wanted to, or the last point, Chair. The last point is on page 13 of slide 13. Your presidential proclamation, the outcomes of your presidential proclamation, which had or have an impact on political activities. Just explain that to me so that I understand it as a member of the committee.
Thank you very much. Members, over to you and
the Sir, thank you very much. Honorable Chair, let me also welcome the presentation by the DG. Mine is on page 3, on the last bullet. On the issue of this benchmarking study that was developed, and I understand it was submitted to ICASA, but the DG never has really explained in details. He just said he will give one of his colleagues to explain on this matter, because the target was not actually achieved. And as South Africans, I think including you, DG, we are affected by this matter, you know, of pricing, you know. And we kept on hearing that there will be changes, there is serious intervention that our government is doing, and nothing is coming forth on this matter. And we are seen as the most capitalist country when it comes to the issue of pricing, because when we say, you know, it's better now, our people have cell phones, but you find that the prices are so exuberant compared to other countries. That's one. I hope we'll get a full detailed report, not a highlight. You know, there is not much of this matter. It's a very serious matter. The second question that I have, it's on page 6. But on this one, I just want to find out for future purposes as a public representative, because when there are those who are resisting transformation in the society, one is bound to begin to have a feeling that we are not moving fast on certain areas in transforming our society for the sake of my knowledge and other members' knowledge. Can you maybe enlighten us about those who opposed the formation of this country? I would say, what were they benefiting when they wanted the status quo to remain? Thank you, Honorable Chairperson.
Thank you, Member. Over to you, Honorable Member.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, Didi. Also, welcome to the report. First, your ICT policy, the research and capacity development, I see it doesn't have a number 7. Just thought maybe we skipped it, or can you just explain is it purposefully not there? Number 7, let me refer you to slide
So I'll refer you to the previous slide 9 and slide 10. And you will see capacity development 6 and research and capacity development 8 on slide 10. So there's no 7. I just wonder, maybe it's purposefully or you don't need that on there. And then I'd just like to know, the percentage of your wage for in the department, the percentages, the percentage of salaries in terms of your total budget. Then Chairperson, lastly I'm going to the Auditor General's findings for 2014-15 financial year. The payment to suppliers not made within 30 days. I'm just picking up the trend here in terms of the action plan. If you look at the first one, a draft procedure manual and payment within 30 days to help approval for the next meeting prior to implementation. The next meeting. The electronic in the system is in the process of being developed, and this is coming on for 3 years in a row. The Auditor General made this finding, but it's still in the process. If you look at the next one, I don't see the slide number, but it's also under the Auditor General's finding. Poor internal controls regarding inventory management. There's also a draft procedure manual, and it's coming on for 2 years. The findings of the Auditor General, and it will be presented to the next meeting. Here's the trend going forward. Other one, fund vacant funds that will be funded. I think you spoke about that, but it's coming on for 3 years. The number of times it was reported by the AG. Also, performance agreements not concluded, coming on for 3 years, and still consequent management measures have been put in place. What are the details of these consequent management procedures, or the details of the consequent management measures? Because the seriousness of this, the Auditor General make a finding again on this. If we do not have details of these consequences, the next one, 39. Apologies. On page 39, also a draft procedure manual. In this action plan. Most of them, DG, looks like, you know, it is something that the department is struggling with, and you put it on this as an action plan. Most of these things are not that. Most of it. It's in a plan, and it will be again a finding of the AG. Again, it will be a finding of the AG. These things will come on for 4 years, and most of them will go to 3 years. So I just need a clarity on that. Are you really serious in getting the department to work? If all of these things, after how many years now, you still have action plan or to be announced in the next meeting, or it's in the pipeline, and you know, it's not satisfactory at all. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Member. Can I give over to, I suppose, Chris, one, two, ask
another? I forgot some important questions, but my fellow colleagues need to touch on that. Did you on the issue of the poor bank, that the union report, a request has been made to the minister to exclude or exempt the post bank. I just want to tell you that as long as I'm a member of this committee, you might expect this question on the postback. I'm going to ask it 1,000 times until the end of the term. And ask you the same thing, that postback cannot be party and be subjected to conditions of commercial banks. Otherwise, it loses the meaning of the purpose and the objective why we wanted a postbank. In terms of cheaper services, accessibility, you name them. Now, I just want you to share with us whether you only made a request, I mean, a request, but what is the response? You can say to us, you have made that request 6 months ago, there's no response. Now, it's important to share with us so that we can engage this matter at a different political level. The second issue is the baseline report on page 18. The ICT industry is still a white dominated industry. But for me to be scientific, I want you to share with us the demographics of the 92 submissions that you are talking about on page 18. The same pillar that you are talking about, the demographics thereof. And I want to say, if you could be appointed, I wish you could be appointed to be the DG. And make an impact in terms of transforming this particular sector to benefit our people. And when we talk of SMME development, empowerment, and the growth of the sector, we talk of the mix of black and white. And that's what will mean and will equal transformation in this country, in terms of the economy and in terms of the sectors of our economy. But if we'll only be talking about 2% of the participation of black people in the sector and you say we have transformed, it's like just a small drop of water in the sea. Now, I'm saying, if you are to be a DG, you focus on this, when your 5-year term expires, you shall have said, I've left a legacy in this department, new department, the new is the communication department, yeah. But in this department, I've left a very rich legacy. I've tampered with the status quo. It might sound as a joke, but it's not a joke. Because you read all documents that are coming from departments, you see a very grandiose information, grandiose presentations with the content. But when you go on the ground, you see a quite divergent situation and condition for our people. And we need to be ruthless if we are to tamper with the status quo in this country, to give our people jobs, to give our people opportunity and space to participate in the economy of this country.
Thank you, Member. Can I give Mr. Favo, Honorable Member, Mr. Favo, and I will give you another budget. Thank you.
No, thank you very much, Honorable Chair.
Sorry, okay. Before you, Honorable Member, can we give this?
Yeah, thank you, Honorable Chair. I just wanted to add on what Honorable Pandis has just said. Thank you. Now, I'll be very brief. It might also be taken light.
No.
You know, I see the boys choir in the delegation. That will tell me that really DG health needs to be done in terms of gender. You see, you might want to compete with us on this other side, but our chairperson is there. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Another
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable members of this already posed some very, very important questions. But let me welcome the presentation. It is indeed a reason of hope that this very, very important sector will be getting some. This is the sense of appreciation. But without more emphasis, the people's bank should remain the people's bank. Because indeed it's addressing the needs of the most vulnerable sense of our societies, the rural people. So whether one will call it commercial or whatever, but it should be able to address those needs of the majority of people that has been marginalized. But going to the question on the national address system, but somewhere I think we've also answered the question that I wanted to pose. Because I wanted to check whether there's collaborations with the local municipalities. But you have indicated that there's a forum established which is taking the local provinces and all that. I think that is also perhaps addressing that question. But on the e-strategy, this fear of the cybercrime, I want to check from do you have any strategy to counteract this cybercrime? Because I think it will also be encroaching into this sector as well. Because it's really haunting. In the commercial banks, there's already the cash flowing. It can also cause very serious damage within the system. It will be user friendly, but it can also fall into the hands of the criminals. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Member. I think I'm covered by the two questions that I want to ask. Thank you. I'm not so happy about what is going on in the past. I think number one is the number of non-achievement is a worrying thing. I want to hear from you the community. Because I can just imagine if I was working in this department, how low my morale would be if I'm reading in the news. And you can come and say that all the negative things in the news is not. Looking at the problem that we experience here about the post was not delivered and the strike workers cannot be paid. I mean, obviously, there is a problem, a big problem. And we cannot make it if it is just going on from month to month. Because of the late payment itself, it's telling me a story that there is no money. Therefore, you can come up with what strategy. If there is even money, how are you going to rectify and do the thing? In my previous life, I was working in the private sector. I was a manager of a big company, through it. And I know how it works. So, instead of making, putting a paper, this, we must come here. So that we can come together and committee also bring ideas how to take the department forward. What can we do? That's why we are here. We must come up and assist the department on what do you think we can bring to the table to make this department work. This department is a very important strategic partner of government. We need this department. And we must help to make this department work. But to look at things and asking questions, and tomorrow's will be the same thing. Like, I all remarked that 4 or 2 years in a row, or 3 years, the same report came out. But my thing is, instead of putting things together, get a strategy to say, how are we going to... Because the department, especially the post SAPO, it's a business thing. And if I'm looking at the ESCOM situation, where we appoint a person now who's really doing the work, it's not himself, but it was a group of people putting together and come up with a strategy to see what can we do to make this thing happen. That brings me to another point that I was thinking of. I think no one is taking responsibility because it's acting. I think to stabilize this department is the first thing that we need to do, so that we can have people and take people accountable for doing the work and the things that you put in place with the strategy. Because to act is not, but like the honorable member Pakis was saying, that we hope that you are going to be appointed as a VG. I mean, if you look at Mr. Malayati, he was in an acting position. But while he was in the acting position, he was doing things that made him to be appointed in the position. And that's what the honorable member Pakis was meaning. And we really need you to take this department serious and take it to a level. My last question that I want to ask, a lot that I want to ask is, thinking about the splitting, what impact is the splitting has in your department? Knowing that it's not a new department, but obviously the splitting obviously will have an impact on some issues. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Chairperson and Honorable Members. I've got a delegation of travel from Pretoria to come and address you on a variety of matters. I'm going to give the delegation the opportunity to really address some of the fundamental issues. The limitation of time, I think, notwithstanding, but I think we need to respond quite emphatically with respect to the matters which you raised. The first issue I would like to address relates to the question of our responsibility and the Department of Telecommunications. I just want to point out that we are a new department, and while we consider ourselves a new department, it's both the mandate which we are executing is quite new. It's not what we were doing before. I think we're charged with now broadband, we're charged with the whole question of e-government, cybersecurity is also some of the things we have. So basically, even though we were working there, but all of a sudden we woke up one day with a new mandate. We were then now expected really to fulfill some other aspects with respect to the 9-point plan. So we take this responsibility quite very, very seriously. And I think I would like to concur with the members with respect to that. If the country is going to function, if the country is going to move forward, this department has it is one of the key cross-cutting departments of government. If in the past we used to think that we worked to develop policies, this new role transformed us into something else. So we are a service provider now to education, to health, to transport, to everyone else. And so we need to change the role actually and how we perceive ourselves. I think we're in the process of responding to this new change environment around us and our mandate. Tomorrow we're in such a discussion, and I think I can promise members that when we talk to you next time, the different organizations are together. We should be at us view. We've underwent a patch because of internal management problems, and I think we would we're the first ones to acknowledge this. And I think you will be aware that our DG and suspension is good. We are aware that the DCGs, actually three of them, were fired in the course of this. We are aware that actually some of the senior managers actually were also disciplined. So that has really brought a lot of negativity to the department. Of course, they leak all these things in the media. That's why we're in the media for a reason. But the limitations then with respect to our ability to allocate the program, it has had a very, very deep impact. That's why I think here, we've got only one DDG, was actually permanent, and the rest of us are active. I assume this was from the president. But let me put it again, let me hasten to say, this is not the reason why we cannot perform our task. I took about 2 months ago, and I think all of those diligences, I think, they are also they took over within that period of time. We are stepping in order for us. But what I always stress is that we were part of this measure. So it is not true to say now when you were on you. People actually who have been part of it or student, and they need to have to take responsibility with respect to what they transpired. What I want to answer is that as a management collective, we think that we've gone through the worst, that we've emerged. What you're going to be seeing going forward, actually, I think the most dynamic team which you're going to actually we're going to witness when we come next year, most probably I think would have fulfilled about 80% of our targets. Those which we are not going to fulfill, it will be because of some external issues and external quality of China. That we are promising and I think as a management collective that was actually great. Now did state have an impact with respect to us? Yes, it is in the sense that we needed to refocus, we needed to share some responsibilities which were there. But it did then actually have an impact which hindered us to deliver the things which we needed to deliver. No, it did not. We would be using that as an excuse. There are a lot of issues, I think, which you highlighted around the question of the Auditor General's support with respect to it. I fully concur. I think it is tied to the direction of duty that the Auditor General points to us things over 3 years and we're not attending to it. I have asked, and I'm still asking, why was it not possible to address all of the issues which the Auditor General actually had pointed out quite early? I would have asked to also then present what the Auditor General actually then said in terms of their presentation when we came here in Parliament, actually then we were sitting with the Auditor General at the back there. There are elements which are quoted in terms of how the department has performed. Our reports are not qualified. You had been reports over the period which are under consideration. But there are these meeting things which are not being attended to, and I'm going to allow the person actually responsible for this area actually then who's in touch now at the moment rather than to address the plans of how to address that. It's not right now and we're addressing it. And we want a clean audit without any matter of emphasis at the end of this financial year. That's what I call where we're going. So we are fully going to achieve that. When we do not achieve it, when we come again next year, please crucify us. Thank you very much.
Thank you, TJ. If I could just touch on the Auditor General's findings, the issues of repeat findings, I think you just covered in terms of a lack of accountability to take some of these findings forward into the repeat findings, obviously. But I think what we have in place is a detailed audit action plan that basically looks at all of the internal control deficiencies that have resulted in these audit findings. Over these years, and then the audit action plan addresses the deficiencies and has put in a plan of action in terms of the internal control owners to then have them rectified by a stipulated date. What has also been happening is that there's been a breakdown in governance structures in the department in the last, the last two quarters. So basically one of the governance structures has been resuscitated as an operations committee and an audit steering committee. The audit steering committee basically then has taken accountability for the implementation of the action plan as it is made up of the relevant internal control owners. So the action plan would is definitely being implemented. And in terms of the things that are in the pipeline, you see the OPSCOM, that's one of the structures that was facilitated, the operations committee. So therefore, they are in the pipeline, but the operations committee is sitting next week, actually next week Thursday. And the things that are in the pipeline, it will definitely be approved and then implemented. But maybe just worth mentioning, a lot of things you have picked up on, such as the payment of suppliers, the inventory management issues, asset management, and so on, as also sitting in the financial division. And the department has not had a CFO also for the past few years, which also contributed to some of these issues. But what is worth mentioning is that in terms of the payment of suppliers, it's substantially reduced to so much so that in the last quarter, 3 months, there's been zero payments that have been exceeded for the 30 days. and they have been measures put in place. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, the electronic invoice tracking system is being delayed because it's part of the bigger process of our IT infrastructure upgrade. So that is dependent on the completion of entire infrastructure upgrade. So that is, it's been a bit of a delay, but it will enhance the payment of suppliers within 30 days through the automated invoice tracking system. And in terms of the issues of the performance equipment that you pick up, there's been substantial improvement in that regard. So some said that although it's repeat findings, it refers to only two performance agreements that were not in compliance with the stipulated time frames that were delayed. And these are the two officials against which action has been taken. So understandably so, we've been 1-0, but I think it is worth mentioning that it has substantially reduced to what was down to exactly two that is during the period under review. In terms of the vacancy, also you picked up the repeat of 3 years, yes, rightly so, but I think in November actually, October, the department has advertised actually 43 positions as well as 3 EDG positions. So we have made a huge turnaround in terms of addressing the vacancy that have been there and the repeat finding in that regard. It's the biggest part of effort that we've ever pushed out. So, and the interviews are in progress, the selection panels and so forth. We should be hoping to finish that by December, an appointment in new calendar year. So we're addressing all of these things. But rightly so, as SMT has mentioned, there has been a lack of accountability in this regard. But the huge strides are being made to address the findings so that they're not repeated in the future. Yes.
There was a question around the percentage of our wage bill versus our total wage.
So in that regard, can I just have a minute to get back to you on that?
Chairperson, sorry, I wanted to actually mention that if you do not have an answer now, I would like to get it. Because you can just submit it and let's get it. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you for that. Now, also, there was then a question about the report of the recommendations. We will be submitting them, the report to the committee. At some time also, we would like to make a presentation to committee with respect and once we offer the white paper, so to take the committee to the
recommendations.
Now, there was, I'll ask the DDG of policy to address all of the issues that are there, starting with the recommended service provider. The whole question now, I think that will go to the DDG of infrastructure around the provinces which were omitted in the final plan. But can you address all policy related issues in terms of the implementation?
Thank you so much, DG, thanks honorable chair, members. Thank you so much again. There was a question raised by honorable Kakis on the issue of the Post Bank supported by Honorable Sifago. There was a question raised on the issue of the benchmark starting mobile data by Honorable Miyamo. I think supported by Honorable Kagis in terms of slide 13. The fact is that my response is let me first address the question of the benchmark reports in terms of mobile data pricing and the recommendations that is covered in the report. It's the question that also talks about on slide 3, and it further goes to slide 8 on the issue of post directives to ICASA. It's the same issue, the same question. What happened is that in the area of operations of post implementation, there is what we call the 3 chain commands. The minister says they told he established legislation and policies, parliamentary legislations, and they would have in council to regulate that regulates the buttons that they think about. Now, in this particular area, there's a provision in the law which says when minister establish or develop a post directive, may consult with the Council of Federation. Hence that delay, but in the long run, the CASA did make submissions. If you look at the government right now, on the web page, we see that the Gazette now is calling for comments. So that is another two. We are happy. After 30 days, we close the call for public comments and therefore move to implementation. So that area of concern has been addressed. There's a question DG asked, and it's a very fundamental question. I think members asked that question. Post bank cannot be post bank, cannot be a commercial bank, it must be people's bank. We agree in that regard. Now, what we have to say is that members will recall that the government came here with a bill in 2010, the SA Post Bank bill, which was passed by the government. Now, in our implementation of the bill of the Act in 2011-2012, there was one provision which was contested by the Reserve Bank to say, don't exempt the Post Bank. And the members are saying, exempt. Now, the financial sector is governed by one legislation, the Bank Act. In the financial sector, there's no class license. You don't get a license and therefore you're given a class that operates. Lessons are the same. Now, it depends upon your business case. Now, what we did, we came back to Parliament to say, let's amend that exemption because Parliament says exempt, but the authority with the Reserve Bank, with the functionality that results, says, no. Don't exempt because we want the Post Bank to go through all the bank scrutiny. We are compliant. We can share with members that much has happened. Now, the Bank Act, it articulates a number of things that Mr. must do. It says Mr. must the Constitution Committee, he has done that. Mr. must call for the board of nominations, he has done that. Mr. must establish the structure that can do for them proper for the board members. Because to become a board member of the bank is different from other companies. You go through a lot of scrutiny. So ministers done that, so my colleague from the SOC will complete the response in terms of how far we in terms of that. I think members recall that the post bank applied to the bank state, to authorize the bank. We have applied already, waiting for a response from the Reserve Bank in that regard. We had a dialogue with the Reserve Bank and the Chancellor. We are meeting on tomorrow with the Chancellor to finalize other issues in that regard. But I urge members that when Minister of Finance or ask this question because they are the ones who manage the Banks Act. But this is a good question. We agree the Banks Act need to be aligned with the Post Bank so that we can check the bank in the near future. The next question, BG, which was asked by Michael Spargo, he says on the addresses, the involvement. Members will realize that the issue of address for the postal issue. No. It affects every sort of lives. You don't have address, you don't exist. You don't belong anywhere. You can't eat, you can't buy, you can't do anything. So you are dependent. You cannot even link up the light in front of you. You cannot do anything. So what we did as a department, we've taken initiative to say this economic issue, let's establish a pool of structure that involves relevant key departments. Led by this department. That happened, we produce a course of document, we contact widely with hard action leaders, so the Northwest, with Pumalanga, Limpopo. So that was an appreciation. That document on the government system of cluster to say, here we are, the cluster service is a good thing, we will support, let's move. So TG said by now, the policy ready. So you will see when it comes to the policy, the review processes, talking about that. Today you can get a parole from this. If it really matters, because you must not have the other person aside. One condition that happens is that where are you going to stay? So you see, we are failing a whole lot of people out there as a country. So by that instrument, honorable members, it's going to assist that kind of situation. The last question from my side, DG, that I've noted, let's the issue of the company the vetting let me check the slide again, the company the vetting. But I can simply say when there was that proclamation of macroeconomic arrangement, the department put the conditions to say going forward for all service providers, let's begin to vet before you appoint. Who are you appointing? So that affected the delay in appointment. But I can say DG with confidence that work has been done. We have received the final report on the roaming strategy. That is going to inform our course of communications in the country. I'm going to gazette for public comments, to begin to implement. So the report is ready by this week for the draft that we have conducted at the department. Before the end of the financial year, we've gone out to get consultation with public comments and engage the CASA in that regard. So the last question, again, I remember, is the issue of the BE Council. I think the question was put, who are opposing for the establishment and then for what reasons? So, you know, from the top of your heart, those are big companies. Nobody on the platform, those are big companies. But as you are actually supposed to say, one of the big leaders to be this area, I think you are quite right. We have taken clients by all means. If we put much emphasis, the country is established, operational, is working right now. What good people from industry group are working in that regard. The general code has been aligned with the GTI codes. So you will see, of course, things happening. In that regard, I begin to address the issue of the codes and the quotas that need to be empowered in transformation. So that's the BG has taken shape. We can share if you want to one day and call for the whole report on the country establishment. We can come and take courses as the later process. BG, from my side, unless I've missed something else, I'll be. Thank you so much. My colleague will finish the issue of the post bank house where we are right now. It's an agency, the hands, the resources. Thank you so much.
Thank you,
Jesus.
Can you answer the question, how far are we in the commercialization of the post-bank and
what are our approaches to it?
Thank you, Chair and Member. The process for establishing the post-bank first starts with getting an application to get authorization from the Reserve Bank to establish a bank. The next process will be then to register the bank to register some with the bank controlling company. I think my colleague explained that second part, that's where which is needs to be clarified in terms of the legislation side where there are some conflicts. But with regard to the first one, the process really, like the stage where we have submitted all the requirements to the required documentation to the Reserve Bank and we are awaiting their response. Once that has been verified in terms of our, once the response is such that we have satisfied the requirements in terms of them having accessed the information that we submitted, then please then we'll have the authorization to go ahead and establish the post bank. And yes, that's where we are. The next step would then be to the that issue of the establishment of the bank controlling company. So as it is right now, we are waiting for the Reserve Bank to give us feedback. So you share.
Thank you. The
thank you, Chair. The tenants are not dependent on us. It's yes. It depends on the Reserve Bank itself. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. I would ask then the DDG of infrastructure to address the issue of the school connectivity, the schools which are supposed to have fallen off the list, and then if one has to prioritize education, what are we doing to structure that? And then there was another issue which leads to you. Cybersecurity. And the strategy, what are we doing with respect to cybersecurity and where we are?
Thanks, ADG, and other members. With regard to the school's connectivity program, the program that was which was the major program of the 2010 FIFA School Connectivity Partnership Program, which covered all the provinces of the free state, especially because there were 144 schools in the free state.
However, what happened in some instances was that as the service provider went to the schools to connect, they did establish that in some few schools they found that there was no power issues. In terms of the infrastructure, there was no place where to put the equipment because of the huge problem with theft. And because the Department of Education is the lead department in terms of identifying the schools, we will then go to them and say, indicate to them whenever they encounter challenges. And then they will then identify the replacement schools in those. So it may be possible that in some of those schools in the first state, some of the schools have been replaced, which were initially earmarked for productivity. And what we are also doing, there are other problems that we are running. Currently, there's also the universal service obligations. These are the obligations that have been imposed on the mobile licenses for a community and Telkom. Where they have an obligation to connect schools, and the problem is underway. We have connected about 800 schools so far in the current financial year. We paid our regulars about 10,000 schools. And we do have schools that have been connected in the first day to can get some of those schools as well. And going forward, as part of the broadband program, as part of the phase one, we've identified Tony Fuzangani in the first day, for example, that we've got 8 district dispatches in across 7 provinces. We have excluded Gauteng in the Western Cape from the first phase, and the reason for that is because they are running their own broadband initiatives. So we have identified this a district in each municipality where we are providing connectivity. For example, in this state, about 571 schools as the phase one, which we intend to connect in the 3-year program that we've got. Subsequent to that, event, we've also got a plan that we've submitted to Treasury as part of the phase two, which then covers the remaining part of the country. Those are the districts which are not part of the phase one, which you still have to engage with Treasury in terms of its funding. So we intend to cover all the schools by 2020, all the schools must be covered with high-speed broadband connectivity. So that's the benefit that's related to the schools connectivity programs that we've got. And then the other issue raised by one of those FACO on the e-strategies that have been touched on cyber security and cyber crime, we have realized that as we push the rollout of the infrastructure and also the adoption of the e-services by the citizens and the government as well, it also exposes large parts of our communities to the cyber threats, cyber security threats. So the department is part of the justice and security cluster, and we have got a role there in particular to where our role to establish a cyber security hub, which we just launched in October. Its main purpose is to interact with government, the private sector, and also the citizens in terms of collating all the possible cyber security threats and then able to pass it to the citizens and also escalate it to the police. There are certain cases that we have received when we identify it involves cyber crime, then we escalate it to the police. Some of the issues is the issue of awareness, where we also inform people that there are certain threats that are happening. Some of the issues actually, it's originating outside the country, but pretending to be businesses or even government communication in South Africa. So you have to engage with international partners in order to address some of those issues. But we are playing a key role. We still a new hub that we've established. We have had to deal with about 6,000 threats in a month. We have the dollar 2,000. So there is a lot of work here, a lot of activity in terms of this. Different kinds of threats that we have to deal with on the subsequent service. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Now, there was a question around the baseline reports, the representativity of the sector. I would like DDG of Information Society and Development to address that.
Thank you, DG. Thank you. Members. The aspect of SME development is an undeniable one because of the role that they play on the government priorities set out in creating jobs, in empowering, ensuring that the socio-economic conditions of people are improved. Information Society Development Branch takes that into consideration, particularly from the point of the digital opportunities that present itself. One of the key aspects is the development of the entrepreneurship program. What we are aware of is that the world is moving to the direction of having a knowledge economy. And for us to be able to get there, we should be able to bring along the sectors or the sections of society that are key in contribution to the GDP. What then has happened is that the creation of the small business department by the government that they took power led to a situation where it actually assisted us as a department, because as an ICT department, we are an enabler and we are also cross-cutting to enable other sectors to perform efficiently. So there was an engagement where all the SMMEs that are within the sector of ICTs engaged in a workshop over 2 days for the department to understand what are the constraints and what are the challenges and who are actually the real players. I think there was a question that was asked around is to say, what is the demographics? It's an interesting one, because if you trade the development of the telecoms sector, is that we have been preoccupied a lot by enabling the sector to become liberalized and to operate competitively. So in that process, we've then left behind the issue of empowering. The program was run in the other branch, but then it has moved to our branch, and we are glad to inform that almost 75% of the SMEs that we engage on are actually the ones that are on the African inclusion and the HIDs communities. So that report is going to be tabled to the structures of the department, and then it will be engaged with the small and medium department in order for the session to play the role that it has to within the development and job creation. So that report will be finalized and will soon have the department be giving the details to us.
Now, Chairperson, I think we've responded to all the questions. I think what we would like to underline that the report as it is reflect a year which we reported on is not necessarily the current reflection of the things which we are doing. Since then, there's been a lot of research earlier than taken place, and we are in a position today that I think, as I indicated, we have emerged out of the crisis, and I think we're looking forward to actually doing much, much better than what is really the time and then I go to the
Thank you,
Dee.
Honorable members, just one question, so
that can
move to the
other. Sorry for the delay. It's part of a government department, so every department, part of government, you are implementers, and implementation of policies. In terms of the post and graduate directors, what informs you to take that route for the posting? What policies did you employ to get to your decision, or was given to you to say that this is the policy that we are following, so you should do X, Y, and Z? If it's impossible to answer, we refer it as maybe to the minister as a political question. But I just wanted to know, are we still on course in terms of our implementation of policies of government? Secondly, Chairperson, the broadband that you excluded in Gauteng is another province. I think most of you know Gauteng. There will be development in Tshwane, development in Johannesburg, Ekurhuleni, and the West Rand will be excluded totally. Currently, there's no broadband in West Rand.
but just to say that they have their own thing, I need to, you still need to monitor where they are doing it, because it's those areas on the outskirts of Gauteng that still need development. And I don't think there's, I don't want to call it political world, but you know, in Gauteng they develop in the metros, and Western End and other areas are mostly excluded. And then the vetting, you mentioned that the vetting causes a delay in appointments, but I want to just get our minds right that vetting cannot cause a delay in appointments. It's actually part of the process. Please not view it as a burden, but as a necessary process to ensure value for our money and also service delivery to our people. It is, it should be viewed in that way and not as a burden. It just came out slightly as if it is a burden. You understand? That's just a comment. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. ADG, for the response, I think you must forward the other outstanding documents to us. Can we deal with the other report? And I think you don't need to go through the whole report. Can you just give a summary, short summary of the report? You do secretly the report. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Before we proceed to the other one, I'm just going to ask your indulgence. I think we've got the figures with respect to the percentage of our human resource to the overall budget.
Thanks.
It's
double half. It's actually, for the period under review, it's exactly 8.4% the personnel expenditure. It came out at 8.4% of the total expenditure of the department. The 8.4% equates to 183,910,000. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Now, we are also today asking the Select Committee to consider and to approve a ratification of Article 12 of the International Telecommunications Satellite Organization, which South Africa is in. Now, the brief background with respect to this organization is that in 1973, at the United Nations, there was a decision to establish an International Telecommunications Satellite Organization, which is called Intelsat, with the aim to implement the resolution of the UN on the use of satellites and outer space for peaceful development and also for equitable access to the outer space and the resources associated with it by all countries. Now, from 1973, this Intelsat then developed satellite systems, which were then utilized. South Africa acceded to this treaty in 1973. Now, they developed satellites which were going to be used then for communication, and in particular for broadcasting, and I think our broadcasting organizations are still using this Intelsat system. Between 1973 and 2001, a wave of liberalization took place. I think you will recall that all other telecommunication companies actually were established by the state, but then there was a period under when actually they were sold off, they were restructured, the sectors actually were privatized, there was the whole issue of the involvement of the private sector with respect to them. That wave caught up in this international organization, which was called the International Telecommunications Satellite Organization. There was then proposed that there was a need to provide an avenue for the inclusion of private capital to operations, and that it needed then to respond to other satellites which had then emerged, which were private satellites competing with it. The long short of it was that Intelsat was actually privatized. And then it became a P2I entity, and it is in a P2I entity. But instead of being privatized, it had something which was quite important, the assets which belonged to the country, which would be the orbital slots, which are very finite, and then the frequencies which are assigned to them in respect of them managing the data centers. So that was what was in the United Nations, and all countries had a stake in it, and the 21 this was, and there was about more than $1 trillion in terms of its commercial value, because the satellites have to be somewhere in the operating sphere in order for them to provide the service. So they were sitting then with this organization which had formed then, which had also entered into a contract with these countries that it was going to do all of the things that it was supposed to do, and the resolution for which referred to them to the public service obligation. Now in terms of the public service obligation of this organization, which was then by the time, it had to maintain global connectivity and coverage, it had to serve its lifeline connectivity customers, which were countries, and it had to provide non-discriminatory access to their systems and satellites. Now, once then, there was a privatization, but the need then to form another organization, of course, to like, look after the interests of the member states, because now what was the organization of the member states that became privatized, and it was the first P2IL today. So then they formed another organization, which was called the International Telecommunications Satellite Organization. So Africa can affiliate to this trip, which actually then formed this one. Now this organization, which is ESO, was then charged with the task to monitor the private company's performance to the assembly of parties which are the state. And then it had then an aggressive organ and a panel of intellectual experts to hold the company outsourced, whose function they can be outsourced to, so that it's a whole. Now, that does not happen in a planned way of times. Now, this organization which had promised that it was going to involve private sector people to actually then contribute money, it was going to run in a manner which was going to be better than how it ran when it the country was directly involved. Now, it started raising capital, and it raised capital, and now it is significant in debt. The debt is rising. Now that gave rise to another discussion, and to say that but there are assets which are available, which are given to this organization to run on behalf of the member states. Now those assets are not protected. Now this company which is in debt can use them to defray its costs, it can actually go bankrupt, which means that those who are creditors to it will take over these assets. So it then gave rise to the question of the conservation, what to do with these assets. And the member states then came to a conclusion that these assets, as much as this organization is utilizing them, are a common heritage of countries and all people. Now they need to bring past and they need to be protected. Now this is the amendment then to the treaty which established this, which is then aimed at protecting these assets and ensuring that in any eventuality, whatever happens, these assets are not part of the normal course of doing business by this entity, which was about the use of this right, so that they can go back to the people who are owning it. Now, this has been a discussion which has taken a number of years, and we are coming at the tail end of this discussion. It is ratification, and there are 10 countries which are needed to afford it now to be ratified. South Africa has not then actually signed this ratification, and one South Africa actually to sign. There are reasons why it is in our interest of the country to do the signature and to rectify it also. I think we spoke about the broadband SA Connect program. We need to utilize whatever the means which are at our disposal in order for us to then connect every inch and every part of the country. Satellite will be part of this cooperation. We are also considering our own satellite in the future. We then have to come back to this issue of the orbital satellite. There is a the International Telecommunication Union meeting which is taking place for this whole month of November, and the issue, Southern Africa has then proposed that we, as well as the international community, consider the issue of having a plan which is developed for country patrolling to have some satellite capacity in Southern Africa especially. Now these are the assets then which will come into play if that plan actually is going to turn into a function. So what we are asking the select committee to support is essentially what is aimed at achieving our own policy objectives, which is to connect all South Africa using whatever the means are available to us, to protect our also common heritage, because we ourselves actually have then passed to the ownership of the heritage through the United Nations and the Assembly of Parties and respect to them. And then we would like to try also to assure that Africa as a region is actually rotated in terms of ensuring that the systems which countries are dependent on, some other African countries do not have options of using commercial satellite. That's very dependent on this, that we protect the client and they are not interested to communicate. Chairman, this is the essence of what you're asking, and I'm not sure we will field questions in case there are questions out there.
Thank you,
Honourable
Member. Also, the NA deals with the cost unanimously.
This morning.
How about this? Yeah. The water request we should have combined, but I couldn't manage that to have a combined meeting. Therefore, that's why this, I think, can I have a honorable
Safako? Thank you very much, Chair. This is very, very critical and important. It's similar to the ban amendment. So, equally, so I really propose that we just approve this amendment.
I have a proposal. If there's someone who can take it,
May thank you, the members of the committee, and also wish you a Merry Christmas and a New Year as well. Well, thank you for the last time as part of this.
Thank you very much. Thank you, you and your month. Ever well deserved break and coming back in really big. I don't want any negative things in the media. Thank you for my
Thank you.